Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, welcome to Bitch Slap. This is Rachel Fisher.
This is Desi Jettikin.
And this is Melrose Place Season 3, Episode 14.
Sex, drugs, and rock in the cradle.
What did I tell you? Another rock in the cradle reference.
Not a great, not very, it doesn't really roll off the tongue easily.
Instead of rock and roll, it's rock in the cradle.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I don't love it. But we begin this episode with Joe trying to explain to her attorney what happened. So she's like telling her attorney, I faked my baby's death. And then the woman who helped me fake the baby's death stole my baby. And her attorney is giving a very appropriate response. He's like, you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah. He's like, why are you telling me this?
He's like, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that. And I can't help you. And you need to get a criminal lawyer.
Here's what I would have done if I was Joe. I would have kidnapped the baby back.
Right.
Like, now you could go to the police, I guess, and prove that you adopted it.
Right.
Right? Because Kimberly would be screwed too.
Exactly. I mean, then it just might be a back and forth. Baby's getting kidnapped. Like,
you have to leave town.
She would have had to leave town. I just think Joe shouldn't have done all this in the first place. This is another example of Joe continuing to make bad decisions.
Yes, I agree. But like I said, just kidnap it back. You can't go through legal channels at this point.
She's so dumb.
Yeah.
The lawyer is like, you messed everything up big time. And he was like, I had a great case prepared for an appeal, but now I have no choice but to pretend we never had this conversation. He's like, you need help. You're sick, lady.
But it's also weird that he wasn't in communication with her about the great appeal.
Right.
Because maybe if she knew about this, so she wouldn't have gotten right. So desperate.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like, he's just now telling her about the great appeal.
That's a great point, Desi. Yeah.
I mean, this whole storyline is stupid because I think it's really hard to take a baby from their mom in general, especially in these circumstances. Like, she didn't do anything.
She didn't do anything. It was such a stretch that the courts would award sole custody to the Carters.
Right. I mean, she's not a drug addict. Like, she hasn't done anything that would warrant taking a child away. And I know people can have it happen for sure. But it's like, this case just, I'm sorry. No. But
no.
Whatever. It's dumb.
So after the credits, we're at the beach house and Michael kind of looks around and then calls Jane. He calls Jane and he cannot stop thinking about her. Because remember, they fucked in Vegas and Jane took this as like a one night stand.
Now, I have to say, I thought Jane's outfit was really cute.
Me too. I loved it.
It was so cute.
It was such a good look on her.
I was like, it must be someone else's work.
This was a great look on Jane Mancini. I'll post a picture. I don't have like the full length picture of it, but I thought she looked sickening. Her hair also looks great too. I love that little 90s does 60s flip that was so popular at this period of time.
Yeah, it's definitely grown in where it looks really good now, I think.
Yeah,
I like it.
She looks cunt.
She's serving cunt a bit this episode in general, and I'm here for that with Jane because she's been really annoying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, she's so like,
Well, I do like that she was like very dismissive to Michael and sort of like, yeah, we fucked, but we're not an item and I'm not getting back together with you.
And that's a great feeling
as
a woman when you are truly over someone and you're like, I can literally fuck you and leave. And I love it. I love that for me.
And now you're the one crawling on your hands and knees.
Yeah. To have that like upper hand, especially with someone who treated you like garbage.
Yeah.
And you're like, you finally don't have a hold on me.
So she's like, bye, Michael. I gotta go. At D&D, Amanda tells Billy that Allison made it to rehab, but she's mad that D&D is being stuck with the bill. She is such a scumbag.
Good for Billy. He finally did something good.
He finally did. Amanda's such a dickhead. She's like, we're D&D's being stuck with the bill for her rehab stay. She's like, because she's our employee. And she's like, I thought you fired her, Billy. You were supposed to fire her first.
Yeah.
And he's like, that's illegal, Amanda.
Right. Cause you can't fire someone when they're entering treatment.
Right. And so, he's like, I can't do that, Amanda. That's illegal. And then Peter stops by, and Peter's in his villain era, and he's like, Amanda, I've heard rumors about some accounts are shaky.
No, it's like, get you and your consortium of doctors out of my business.
Who were the other doctors?
You were just supposed to do this deal and get me in charge and then fucking go away.
He's way too involved with the inner workings of D&D and with the decision-making processes.
It's out of control. Amanda needs to put him in his place.
Yeah. He's a doctor, not an advertising executive.
No. He thinks he's a businessman now.
Yeah. So asks her, do you need help? And she does not like being suggested that she needs help.
No. She's got to rattle on. She's like, yes, we've had some struggles because of what happened.
And Bruce... killed himself in my office. So it's been a little weird around here.
Yeah. So, but we're working to get things back on track. Like, lay off, Peter.
And then she does admit that she feels guilty about Bruce. And he's like, this was a hostile act by Bruce because he didn't think you could take the pressure. But yeah. I do, Amanda.
That was hilarious because she's all struggling and feeling guilty about Bruce. And he's literally like, that's why Bruce hung himself in your office. He knew he would get to you. I was like, damn.
And he's like, no, we have dinner plans. Don't forget, we have dinner plans tonight at 8:00. I don't want you to be late. And she's like, I got to work tonight. And he's like, oh no, you're going to come to dinner. And then he says, and I'd watch out for that Billy character.
No, he is full on evil fucking villain from the 1930s.
He's done such a hard 180 because when we're introduced to Peter in the first episode, he comes off as very much a stickler for the rules.
Yes.
And sort of what's right and wrong. Like when he first meets Kimberly and Michael, they try and suck up to him and they're like two brown nosers and he sniffs them out from a mile away.
Right. He comes off like a really like, no, he is just, it's like he's honorable.
Like he's ethical.
Like, and it's like almost like, ugh, who wants that on Melrose?
No.
Well, he's not anymore.
He was joking. At rehab, Allison is talking at group. They're doing their process group, and this one guy in the group starts laughing, and he literally says, this girl's a joke.
I laughed.
Yeah.
Because it was so over the... She's, like, telling her little sad story, and he's literally like... like, belly laughing, and then he's just, like, disgusted with her.
He's like, you're a joke.
Yeah. It's like, I was like, damn, I need to go into group.
And she's... and she's like... You know, people have different stories. And Marsha, the group, the rehab tech who's moderating this process group, she made a good point. She's like, actually, you guys have the same story.
Ooh.
You're alcoholics.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you have in common.
There's different details.
The details are different, but at the end of the day, both of you are a bunch of fucking, you're drunks.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she's like, I need you to stop judging Allison, Terry. And then she tells Allison, and I need you to help Terry out in the kitchen. And Allison's like, oh. And they hate each other. This is established that they do not like each other. And Terry is seemingly picking on Allison for no reason.
Right. And this guy is played by the guy from JAG.
Okay. I don't know who that is.
Well, I never watched that show, but it was on for like 30 years.
Yeah.
I think his name is like, he has like three names. It's like David James Elliott or something.
Right.
I was just like, he looks so familiar. And I looked him up and he was the star of JAG. So I just had seen that poster like my whole life, I feel like.
Right.
So I was like, that's where I know him from, even though I didn't watch that show.
Yeah. Back at Melrose Place, Sydney comes over to Jake's house. She goes over to Jake's and she's like, I need to clear things up about Las Vegas. Because when we last saw Jake and Sydney together, Jake had come to Sydney's rescue in Vegas with Jane and Michael tagged along too, obviously. And Jake was really suspicious about the degree of Sydney's peril.
Yeah. And like Jane warned him and he's like, don't worry, this isn't over. Like, I'm just getting her out of here. I'm going to look into this further.
And this is bad because it's clear that Jake doesn't understand the complexities between a victim and her captor dynamics.
He doesn't know about Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. And he doesn't know about exactly what Sydney said about playing along to keep yourself safe.
Yeah. But I mean, well, Sydney was definitely. Well,
Sydney definitely, I think we know Sydney. She definitely did some things that seemed like suspiciously she's taking advantage of the situation, but she's trying to explain.
Right. She could have made a better case, I think. Like, yeah. For instance, before they came, she could have changed out of the gown into her regular clothes.
Yeah, she didn't. Yeah.
But it's very Sydney of her.
It's very Sydney of her. So he's just kind of irritated, even though he does say that he believes that she was afraid of Chris. But he's like, well, you and I handle things very differently. And she's like, Jake, you're the only person that I can trust. And she's like, I didn't even sleep with him the whole time we were in Vegas. And he's like, what do you mean in Vegas?
Now, I have to say, I was kind of surprised that he clocked that as meaning something else.
I was too.
Because the way she said it, I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it was like, it could have been like, I didn't sleep with him in Vegas.
She said, I didn't sleep with him the whole time we were in Vegas.
Okay.
So he immediately clocks this to mean that they had slept together another time.
Right.
Just not in Vegas.
Yes.
Because he's like, but where did you sleep with him? And she's like, Jake, I had to. And
she caves instantly.
Instantly. And she explains that the mobster who came by Shooters that one time was friends with Chris and that they forced her to have sex with Chris so that they wouldn't beat up Jake.
Right. She's like, I did it for you.
And he doesn't care. He's fucking pissed.
He's Jake.
Back at rehab, Allison and Terry are working in the kitchen and she's attempting to smooth things over. And we learn that Terry's a football player, like a famous football player.
Yeah.
And so she's like, Terry, I know a little about football. And I think you're a great athlete. And he says, I don't care what you think. You're sucking up to me. And then he's like, stop hitting on me. And then he says, you're a butt-kissing little blonde bimbo that's too afraid to admit she's a drunk.
He nailed her. Like, she's not a bimbo.
No.
But she is blonde. She is a butt-kisser. And she is afraid to admit she's drunk.
Yeah. This guy needs to take his own inventory. He's taken too much of Allison's inventory.
Yeah. And he's obviously has a bug up his ass with Allison for some reason.
He's triggered by her.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, she does her little Allison. Oh,
how could someone say that to me? She's still shocked after all these years.
Yeah. At Jane Mancini Designs, Jane gets a flower delivery from Michael. And she tells the flower delivery guy, she's like, she sees the card and she's like, actually, these were delivered to the wrong address.
Yeah.
I need you to send them here to Michael's beach house in Malibu.
I like how they, like, everyone just is like, oh, the beach house? Yeah, the beach house.
Yeah, I know that house. Not an address. And she does write him down the address and she giggles because she's going to fuck with him.
She's literally like, hee, 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 hee.
Yeah.
like she does like a true giggle.
I like this plan.
It's truly the best thing she's ever done.
Besides
on the show.
Fuck Michael.
Yeah.
That scene was good.
So she's really on an upswing these past two episodes.
I'm proud of her.
No, this is genius.
Billy and Susan have Matt and Jeffrey over for dinner. And I can just tell this was like orchestrated by Susan in a very manipulative way to try and get to curry favor with people in the building. Like, look, I'm hosting dinner. I'm cooking dinner for two of the people in the building.
And I have to say, from the second this scene started, I was like, this is already chaotic. Something's going to happen. Because why were they all so close and crowded in this kitchen? Didn't it just seem so weird from the get-go?
Already on edge.
Yeah, it was crazy.
So Jeffrey is acting as Susan's sous chef as they prepare dinner. And he's chopping vegetables. And he accidentally cuts himself. And he panics and shoves all the vegetables into the sink. And Susan's like, what? You didn't have to do that. It's okay. And he gets really frazzled and he runs off. And Matt knows why he's panicking.
Right.
And so he runs after him. And this is like a very sad moment. The two of them sitting on the steps outside of the apartment. Jeffrey has a towel around his finger and Matt's like, here, let me fix your bandages. And Jeffrey's like, no, you can't touch my finger. And then Matt educates us, the viewers.
Yeah.
He says, look, unless I have an open wound and you're bleeding directly into it, it's going to be okay. And he tells us there are HIV positive people in kitchens everywhere. But Jeffrey's really sad and he feels like he's just scared. And he's like, I don't think I can do this. And this is a very sweet moment because Matt's like, you're so strong and I'm here for you no matter what.
Yes.
And they kind of like, you know, are cuddling on the steps. It's very sweet. At the beach house, Kimberly is putting the baby to sleep when there's a knock at the door. It's the flower delivery guy. Perfect timing.
He booked right over.
Kimberly immediately thinks that Michael has sent her flowers. And she's like, oh my God, Michael, he didn't have to do this. And the delivery boy is like, you know, it took me a couple hours to find your place. And Kimberly's like, well, then you should get a map, and shuts the door in his face. So she didn't even tip this guy.
No, but she's about to get her just desserts.
Yeah. She opens the card and it says, Jane, you will always be my wife, my one true love. Love, Michael.
I love how excessively pointed that card was.
Yeah.
Like, you will always be my wife. Sorry, it just seemed like it.
And Kimberly is so upset she hurls the vase at the wall.
Yeah. I think this is also where we find out the baby's name is Michael Jr.
Yes.
Which was like wild to me. I don't know why.
It's so stupid.
It's really stupid.
The next day, Michael wakes up to Kimberly shaking the bed. Like, she shakes him awake.
Yes.
And he's freaked out. He's like, oh, babe, what's going on? And she's brings up the flowers and he's like, tries to play it off like it was a joke. Like, he was playing a joke on her.
But it was just messing with Jane's head. It's like, no, you aren't.
And so Kimberly's furious. She's like, I need you to choose between me and Michael Jr. and your slut. And then Maria comes in and says the baby's having trouble breathing. And Michael's like, babe, I think you should take this baby to the hospital.
This is crazy because it's like they're both doctors and this baby's breathing he's been struggling.
And
nothing's happening.
Yeah. And so Kimberly obviously doesn't want to take the baby to the hospital because she doesn't want to get found out that this is like, they'd be like, well, where's this baby's birth certificate?
But it's also like, she is a doctor. So it's like, can't you do anything?
I mean, they don't have like equipment there.
I guess, but they make it seem like it's a cold initially. Like he has like some kind of upper respiratory infection.
But clearly it's more serious and she still doesn't want to take him to the hospital.
No, it's just so weird to me because it's like, well, shouldn't you have knocked it out get some antibiotics or something? Like you stole it from the hospital. Is she just not leaving the house? Like,
I don't know. Maybe she is afraid that Joe's going to come back.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know. But Susan returns home. and the phone's ringing. She picks it up and it's Allison. And she's like, oh, hey, Susan, can I leave a message for Billy? And she wants to invite Billy to a special meeting at the rehab where people who help the patients get sober are like welcome, like invited to attend this special meeting.
Everyone gets to bring one person.
And Susan is scowling while Allison's telling her this information.
And Allison's also being very sweet.
She's being very nice.
Yeah. She's like, thank you. You're a good friend. Like, she's turned a new leaf.
Susan is such a bitch.
She's a real bitch for this.
And she's a terrible person.
Yeah. I don't like her.
She does two things in this episode that are like unacceptable. Mm. And this is the first one.
Right.
Anyway, so she's scowling. She's like, yeah, I'll tell him. Meanwhile, Terry runs into Allison. He's like, hey, cupcake, you're supposed to be over here scrubbing pots and pans, not yakking on the phone.
I'm sorry.
And she yells at Terry. She's like, I demand an apology, Terry. And he's like, yeah, yeah. Let's just get back to work. And then he admits to her that he's not just a drunk, but he's also sexually compulsive. And she's like, well, you need to talk about that at the meeting. And he's like, yeah, right.
And this is where we find out his beef with her. It's because he wants to fuck her.
These two would be separated immediately. And there is no way in hell that this guy who's in rehab for both alcoholism and sex addiction would be allowed to be in such close proximity, like alone so many times with this other patient.
But they don't know he's a sex addict.
I guess you're right.
He didn't tell them that.
But here's the other thing. What they did in rehab, we'll get to it later. We'll talk about it when we get to it.
Okay.
That night at the meeting, everyone else's guests are there except for Billy. There's like this empty chair where Billy's supposed to be.
That was so extra.
Yeah.
They just left the chair
There's
empty.
One chair empty. Like everyone else's guests were in attendance.
Yes.
And so Allison looks humiliated and Terry notices this. And Allison excuses herself. And she immediately goes to the payphone and calls Billy. Meanwhile, Billy and Susan are making out on the couch. And Billy like reaches for the phone and she's like, don't answer that. And then the voicemail goes off, but Allison hangs up. And I was really mad because I was like, oh, I wish Allison would have left a message.
But we do get to hear Billy's answering machine message. And this is something I'm always obsessed with. His is, leave a message if you want. If you don't, don't. I just am obsessed when they help, they play those for us. And they try to make it the character, like what they would do.
If you don't, don't.
If you want. If you don't, don't. It's like, okay, Billy.
It's very Billy.
Yes.
Allison furiously hangs up. And then she does not go back in the meeting. Instead, she sneaks out of the rehab. She climbs out of a second story window.
She literally looks like a teenager running away from home. The way she's like... crawling out that window and like climbing down. Like,
yeah,
it's so funny.
She's got her oversized leather bomber jacket on.
Yeah.
Again, the one that she like checked into rehab wearing. And she starts like walking down the street and then she comes across that dive bar,
which is like right up the block from the rehab, I guess.
Yeah.
It's like product placement.
It's like the same bar. And she like, she does a big sigh. We know she's going into that bar.
But how will she pay for anything? Will she be able to buy her drinks?
She probably had money on her when she came in.
I don't know if they take everything away or what.
They don't take money away.
Oh, okay. But why you wouldn't need money in rehab?
Yes,
most likely.
You would.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh.
That was my biggest problem is I had $0 and I did not have my family giving me any money.
So you can buy stuff.
Well, you can have people go out and get you stuff.
Oh.
So I ran out of cigarettes. I came into rehab, someone generously before I went to rehab, or like when I was at the first rehab I was at, they bought me a carton of cigarettes. But when that carton ran out, I had no cigarettes and I had no money to buy cigarettes. So I had to bum cigarettes or smoke butts. Ugh. The entire 3 months I was in rehab.
Oh my God.
And I was smoking up almost 2 packs a day at that point.
Oh my God.
So I was smoking butts.
Ugh.
Or waiting for someone to stub out like their half a cigarette and then diving to it in the ashtray.
Oh my God.
But people did. The girls were nice. They usually like gave me a cigarette.
They're like, here.
I was one of the youngest ones there.
Right.
They felt bad, but you do have money.
Okay.
Cause
so on the chance someone leaves and comes back, they'll get you something.
Yeah. Or a staff member, or we're all going to Target.
Okay.
Pick up your sanitary items and your beauty products or whatever.
Got it.
You need. So, yeah, she would have money on her, but they don't usually let you go out by yourself.
No.
So she goes to this bar. Back at the beach house, Michael Jr. has a fever.
And 105.
This is crazy.
Yeah. That's like you can die.
Fever. Yeah, that's really serious. Yeah,
that's very serious. And or it can injure your brain. Like,
right. It's bad. And Michael's like, we need to take him to the ER. And Kimberly's like, we can't. And he's like, just tell me what's going on.
He's so dense.
And she's like, okay, I bought the baby on the black market. And he's like, okay, I'll deal with the paperwork.
I mean, this is just wild that he hasn't asked this question yet. Like, why is this baby here? How did we get it?
He's not even really mad that she bought the bait, that she bought him on the black market. No, he
pivots immediately.
Like, all right, I'll just deal with the paperwork. Just get him to the hospital. Allison climbs back in the window at rehab, and it is clear that she's drunk because she's like falling everywhere. And she's like, ooh, ooh.
According to the synopsis of this episode, there's something like, and Allison leaves rehab and comes back hammered. I was like, hammered, such a good word.
She is hammered. Okay, this is where I took umbrage.
Okay.
This would never happen. Terry is waiting for Allison in her bedroom. Now, I've been to a co-ed rehab before, and they are, you interact with the guys.
Right.
In group settings. But you are never allowed to be alone with a guy, and vice versa.
And wouldn't they be like, where is he?
They do bed checks.
Yeah.
They do bed checks when you're sleeping. You also don't have a room to yourself. You have roommates.
Right.
So I had two roommates at the first rehab, the co-ed rehab.
Right.
And
this was very clearly a private room. And he's just sitting in there like it's a hospital.
You don't get private rooms. And so this would never happen. You can't fraternize. You can't fraternize with guys and rehab. He's just like been sitting there like a creep.
In the dark,
waiting for her to get back because he's like, I saw your friend didn't come to the meeting and was worried. And she says, you're not my type. You're too beefy.
No, okay.
Get out.
I was wondering, I wrote down too beefy and I was like, what was that?
No, she
she said it to him.
That was such a great drunk statement.
It's also funny because he's not a particularly beefy guy. Like, it's hard to buy him even being a football player, really.
I thought he's kind of beefy.
Really?
Yeah.
He looked really tall and like lanky to me.
Well, I guess it's too beefy for Allison.
Yes.
But she's like, you're too beefy. No, get out.
No, she's drunk. We love it.
We love drunk Allison. And he's like, you've been drinking. And she's like, so what? Rome wasn't built in a day.
What does that even mean?
I love her. But then he gets violent. He grabs her by the hair. He dunks her head in the sink. And then he like shoves her face to the mirror. And he's like, look at you. You're a drunk.
That was excessive. He like put his hands on her.
This was wrong.
Yeah.
I would never forgive him after this.
Yeah, it was a little too rough, I thought.
this is not how you deal with an alcoholic.
I was actually shocked. I was like, damn, he really like manhandled her, you know?
I would have been like, sir, you are also in rehab. You are also not like, you're also very early in recovery.
Right.
Like, who are you?
Get off your high horse.
What, have you been here like a week longer than me? Yeah. Go fuck yourself. There's always that person in rehab too who's been there like a week longer than you and they're like, I got this.
Yeah. I'll show you the ropes. I've been there.
And it's like, look, we're all here. We all lost at life.
Yeah.
Like, we're all losers. Let's just accept that. We're all stupid.
Just different stages of loser.
It's so true. So he's like, that's a drunk. And he's like, I'm going to stay in your room all night. And then he does. He literally sleeps in her bedroom.
And this is absolutely tragic. Allison has brought her teddy bear to rehab.
Okay, I was wondering. Is that hers?
I think
so. Did she bring that?
I think so, because she does have stuffed animals and dolls in her room. It's like, ma'am, you're pushing 30 now.
Yeah.
Like, have some fucking, like, dignity.
Dude, you're right. I bet she did, because remember in her bedroom, it was like a whole wall full of dolls.
But the teddy bear is kind of beat up.
It's an Allison teddy bear. So you can tell it's like
her lifelong teddy bear.
That's so funny.
And it was like there when she's going to bed drunk. It's like, once you're a drunk, you can't have your teddy bear anymore.
Yeah, because she wakes up clutching it.
Oh my God.
Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Joe shows up at the hospital at the crack of dawn. And we know this because Michael Mancini's like, what are you doing here? It's not even 7.
Yeah. What is her plan?
And she's like, Matt told me that Kimberly checked the baby in.
Right.
And Michael's like, that's our baby. And she's like, I need to see him. Michael's like, Joe, you're going through a lot right now. Maybe you should settle down. And then she says, your bitch wife stole my baby.
That's some real ass dialogue. Your bitch wife.
She is a bitch wife. When you're
really mad, you combine things like that.
And she's like, let's do a blood test. And he agrees to it. It's like, okay. He's like, be upstairs in the lab in an hour. Because there's a part of him. You can tell. He's like, I bet that's true. I bet this is true.
I think he knows it true. And I think at this point, he's contemplating, like, that would be a great way to get rid of the baby.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't really want it, I think, at this point.
So Allison wakes up with her little teddy bear. And Terry's asleep in a chair. And she's like, thanks for saving my butt. And he's like, I'm going to keep this a secret. But you got to commit to getting sober.
Yeah.
This is enabling Terry.
He's acting like he's running the joint.
This is wrong. This is why he's still sick. Because Allison is not going to be able to stay sober unless she's honest with herself and with others that she relapsed.
He's acting like the ex-drunk who now works at the rehab.
Yes.
But he's a patient there.
He's still a patient.
Like, it's crazy.
You don't even have 90 days sober.
No.
And guess what? You're still crazy when you have a year sober. I'm sorry.
Also, why is no one at this rehab getting any kind of whiff of what's going on here?
That's what I'm saying. This is a very poorly run establishment.
Yeah.
And I feel like Marcia's probably begged the guys who run the place to hire more staff, to hire more competent staff. And they're like, no, we got budget cuts. And so this place is hanging on a string.
Yeah, it's crazy. Twin Oaks is not, I wouldn't send my anyone I knew there.
Yeah. I don't like Terry's attitude.
He's a know-it-all.
But Allison's like, wow, you really saved my life.
Yeah, thanks, Terry.
Back at Melrose Place, Matt made breakfast for Jeffrey. And Jeffrey clocks that Matt wants Jeffrey to move in. He's like, oh, you're doing this because you want me to move in.
Yeah.
But Jeffrey has commitment issues.
Oh, my God.
He's got really big hang-ups.
He's like a textbook case.
Yeah.
Like, it's out of control.
It's really out of control. And I feel bad because Matt is, like, such a catch. And I do like Jeffrey, but Jeffrey has issues that he needs to deal with.
Jeffrey's like the classic, I can fix him.
I know.
Where he is a good guy, but there's too much to have to do still.
Yes.
It's like, you don't have to do that. It's like, let him fix himself first.
Right.
You know?
And so he's like, I just need time, Matt. There's a knock at the door and it's Amanda, and Matt goes to answer. And she opens with, first off, I just want to say I heard and I'm sorry. Susan spoke to me and I told her, Susan, calm down. There is no health hazard and that includes the pool.
Just an absolute priceless Amanda type line.
Right.
Where technically she's doing the right thing and saying the right words, but somehow it's absolutely the bitchiest thing and kind of inappropriate and mean.
Yeah. Like. And she doesn't know that Jeffrey's in the house, nor does she probably really care.
Oh, I don't think it matters at all. Like,
yeah, she's just doing her due diligence and passing along this information. Jeffrey overhears this and is obviously humiliated.
Also love that she really threw Susan under the bus here.
I do love...
Because it was like, I had to calm Susan down because she was so scared.
Okay. Second of all, I told you the thing in Susan, the first bitchy, awful thing she did in this episode, but this really took the cake.
Do you think it's true?
I do think it's true. Okay. This seems like Susan behavior.
Wow. See, I thought that Amanda was just doing it, even though Susan didn't really say anything, that she was scared.
I could buy both Susan.
Yeah, I could too.
And Amanda being very prejudiced about people with HIV.
Yeah, because Susan's kind of ignorant.
Susan is ignorant.
Yeah, and
Amanda's obviously very ignorant.
She has she's got some like holes.
Well, she's a slum lord.
Yeah.
And she's a terrible boss.
Right. She doesn't see like treating people as a necessity, treating people well as a necessity in business.
She's not very empathetic.
No. But yeah, I don't know what she was doing here. I think she just likes letting people know she knows.
And so when she leaves, Jeffrey is rightfully pissed that Matt disclosed his HIV status to Billy and Susan.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not him. That's not for him to tell people. That's for Jeffrey to tell people.
He could have easily had a conversation and said with Jeffrey, what should I tell them? Because they're going to want to know why you freaked out so bad.
He could have done that.
Yeah, he could have just like, I can tell him it's none of their, like, do you know what I mean? Just say something.
Yeah, we could make something up together. But it's not his place to disclose that.
No.
Anyway, Jeffrey storms out. At D&D, Billy and Amanda are having lunch at her desk. And Billy's like, I want to take the insurance forms to Allison.
Right. So at this point, he doesn't know that there was this meeting he was supposed to go to.
Right. And she's like, Billy, you're going to have to let her go.
Yeah.
And so he leaves, and then Peter shows up and he says, oh, before he leaves, he sees them eating lunch and he goes, you know, you two always seem to be working together.
And it's like, you seem to not be working at all. Why the hell are you always down here when you're the chief resident at a hospital?
He's the chief of surgery.
Yeah. Why are you always fucking here?
Does this guy have a job?
Like, can't you send another of the consortium down?
Where? I'm beginning to think that Peter is the entire consortium
yeah.
of doctors.
I agree, because no one else seems very invested like in what's going on here.
Yeah. So He also says to Billy and Amanda, weren't you two romantically involved at one point?
No, Peter is really, this episode, he's truly revealing himself as a controlling little bitch.
And Billy's like, I'm out of here. And he leaves. And then Peter says to Amanda, I also found out you were pregnant by this employee at one time.
He's a little busybody.
He's throwing stuff from season one in our faces.
Now, I'm wondering if he looked at her medical records.
Ooh, he probably did. He had to.
Because how would he know that? He's not friends with anyone she's friends with.
No, but we all know she went to Wilshire Memorial when she had a miscarriage. So he says, don't forget about our dinner tonight at the club. And she's like, you didn't tell me about this. And then we see a boom mic in the shot.
Okay, I thought that was what I didn't rewind.
I did.
Okay, good. I swear to God, I was like, was that a, and I was like, no, it couldn't have been. Mm-hmm. That's hilarious.
We see a boom mic dip down into the shot.
Oh my God.
I love
so
that.
So funny.
So he's making Amanda meet him at the club. I guess it's a country club. You have dinner.
It's like rich people dinner.
Yeah.
Where you know the food is not great.
No, I know exactly what kind of food that is. Over-whipped mashed potatoes.
That are piped.
They're piped and they're very gummy.
And they're kind of hard on the...
They finish them in the oven. They have that crust. But they're absolutely gumball inside with a dry chicken breast.
And a vegetable melody.
Medley.
Medley. Medley.
And a veggie medley on the side. And not even good butter, because this is an old-fashioned country club. So they just have those little, like, individual... In the foil butter packets.
With some hard rolls.
Very hard, cold rolls that are served to you with tongs, like, as if they're trying to do something. But it's like, this bread does not warrant those tongs in this presentation.
No.
This bread sucks.
Absolutely.
The dessert is an incredibly dense, cold... sliver of chocolate torte with a mint leaf on the side and a raspberry, and it's disgusting.
It's the cold. That's, I think, why I have such a trigger with cold cake, because of like places like that where it's cold and it's just hard. It takes all the moisture out.
You need to let that cake come to room temperature.
Yeah, I can't.
So at rehab, Billy shows up with the forms, and Allison's being very cold to him because she thinks that he blew her off.
Right.
And he's like, Allison, I'm proud of you. And she's like, that's crap, Billy. You weren't at the meeting. And he's like, what are you talking about? If I had known about it, I would have gone.
Yeah.
And she's like, She's like, okay, I believe you. That night, Billy storms into the apartment. And Susan's at the stove and she's like, hey, I'm heating up some blackened shrimp.
Here's where she really went off the rails. She's like, I've been working on this at work and my boss says I'm a genius. I'm like, for blackened shrimp?
Right.
Honey.
Honey. First of all.
We've been doing blackened for a few years now.
Yeah.
Like popularly around the country, not just New Orleans. Like,
right. Like you didn't reinvent blackened shrimp.
Like, give me a break.
People, blackened shrimp has been having a moment now.
Absolutely.
I invented this new recipe. My boss says I'm a genius. And I love that Billy responds with, turn off the stove.
You better stop blackening. Because those, if you walk away now, they're going to be real black. They're going to burn.
Right. Because
we're having a combo.
Those shrimp cook fast. So he confronts her about Allison, and she's like, God, Billy, I just forgot. Mm. And he's like, Susan says, I know how this girl is. I saw how she manipulated guys in college.
Now it all comes out.
Yeah.
Susan has been having these feelings for Allison since they've known each other.
And Allison probably fucked a guy that Susan was into. That she probably had no chance with in the first place, but she thought she had a chance.
Right.
Because I don't think Susan was very popular with the guys in college. And
no,
I think
she's annoying.
Still mad about it. Anyway, she's like, very triggered by Allison's alcoholism. And then we learn it's because her mom was an alcoholic.
She also refers to Allison's need for attention as her Camille routine.
Yeah.
Which I was like, that's a nice little classic film drop, like little reference drop, like
yeah,
out of nowhere.
It was. Susan needs to go to Al-Anon. Susan's never been to Al-Anon to dealt with her mommy issues.
No.
And it shows.
She just sees them as being needy people who need attention.
She's jealous.
Yeah. And I kind of get that feeling because you can be like, as someone like, let's say for me, being like the person who does everything right, the person who kind of is struggling will get more attention. And as a kid, you're like, well, what about my attention for not doing all the bad things? But that's a kid mentality that you have to obviously deal with.
And obviously it extends into adulthood. That's why alcoholism is a family disease.
Right. So it's like Susan clearly should have been getting help for her issues because she was struggling with this mom.
She's projecting it onto Allison.
Yes.
And in this moment, she should have said, I realize, oh, I get it now. I realize that I'm projecting my pain. Like her pain's valid.
Right. But she's not at that point yet because she basically sees these people as losers.
And weak.
Weak and like trying to get attention from her.
Yeah, she's very self-centered.
Yes.
And she's a bitch.
She is a bitch.
Billy's like, I'm sorry about that. I really am. And she's like, but Allison's different. It's always the needy people that get the attention. And Billy's like, Susan, I'm not going to desert a friend who needs my help. And she's like, Billy, you have to stop seeing her. Like, she gives him an ultimatum.
Yeah, that's not going to go well.
And he tells her, I'm always going to love Allison one way or another. And Susan's mad.
Because it's got to be really bad to give an ultimatum and the person's like, no. Because you're like, damn.
Yeah.
I really put it all on the line and fucking failed. Now I have to walk away with my tail between my legs. You got to know you're going to win the ultimatum.
I mean, there's a way to have a conversation like this with your partner where you're like, you know, I realize a lot of this is my insecurities, or let's make a plan where like we have a date night once a week. And, you know, obviously I understand you're going to be there for Allison. Like she wanted you to go to this special meeting. Susan's just like too threatened.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things where she's too threatened. She's got a lot of insecurities and it could be settled with a conversation. But ultimately, maybe you guys aren't supposed to be together if this is the way it's going to be and you can't work through it. Like,
what do you think happened to the blackened shrimp?
I think it sat there for hours and then Billy at midnight popped one in his mouth.
Yeah. And he probably went, I like
pretty
that.
Good.
That
is genius.
Right, but they probably got a little tough because they were sitting in the pan.
Oh, yeah, because the pan was still hot.
Yeah, yeah. At rehab, Allison talks first at group, and she says she's ready to get to work, and she says, I'm Allison, and I'm an alcoholic.
Okay.
She still hasn't admitted she relapsed.
Yeah, yes. That's their little secret.
So she's like counting false days.
Yeah.
This is not good. Jeffrey shows up where Matt's having lunch and he says, I burst out laughing when he said this. He says, well, you know, after I got over being pissed at you and your stupid friends.
Yes. I think I walked in last night when that was playing.
Yeah.
It was very funny because I was like, that's a really, the writers were having fun with that one.
I always like when someone who's on the outside of the Melrose Place complex takes a dig at the people inside the complex.
Yeah.
Like, you're stupid, like, friends.
You're not really friends with those losers, are you? Like, we're best friends.
Yeah.
For life.
And Matt's like, if you could just open up and let me in. And Jeffrey's like, you can't help me. And Matt's like, well, if you don't want my help, there's support groups. And Jeffrey's like, I just want time alone. And I thought he was like breaking up with Matt, but I think he was just saying like, I'm not ready to move in because they do hold hands.
Yeah. I don't get what's going on with them.
And they say, I love you to each other. That night, Billy returns home and Susan's in the courtyard with a sad little box. And she's like, here are your keys. And he's like, come on, Susan, don't leave.
Yeah.
Let's work it out.
And she's like giving him this ultimatum. She's like, I can't be with you if you see her again. You can't see her again. And he's like, I can't do that. And he says, I care for you. Did you notice how he said he loves Allison in the previous scene?
Yeah.
And now he's like, I really care for you.
That's like not a good thing to hear.
Right.
That's not what you want to hear in this moment. I care for you. It's like, okay, fuck you. Bye.
And she does say, go to hell, Billy.
Because, yeah, you're right. The care for you. Come on. It's gross.
Is this the last we see of Susan? I don't remember.
I didn't remember either. I kind of hope it is because I don't feel like there'll be anything better. It's not like if there'll be some great big scene where she does something, I don't think.
It would be great, though.
Yes. And in that circumstance, I'd love to see her once more if she goes out full, you know, guns blazing.
It would be fun to see somebody go off on her.
I think this is it.
I think this is it, too. So back at rehab, Allison and Terry are walking down the hall and they stop at her room and they kiss. Mm. They start like making out.
Yeah.
And then Allison pulls away and she's like, good night.
Oh, she does that a little.
Yeah. Like they're on a fucking date. Oh my and not God. In a treatment facility.
This is crazy.
Peter shows up at Amanda's and he's like, I want to take you out for drinks and have a talk. And she's like, next time, call me first. I have too much work. And he's like, I hate when you throw work in my face. He's scary. He's furious.
Yeah.
And then he says, the only reason you have this job is because you slept with me.
Mm.
And then he grabs her and he's like, nobody walks out on me. No one.
He is full on villain.
Back at the hospital, Michael uses the payphone to call Joe. And he's like, yep, it's your baby. DNA test came back.
Michael Jr.'s yours.
And she's like, so are you going to help me? And he's like, well, it depends on what you mean by that. So yeah. We know Michael's already found a way to make this work for him.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand why this would be good for him.
I don't either.
Except maybe to placate Kimberly.
He's like, happy wife. Gotta keep this baby.
And he says, you know, if you turn him over to the Carters, you'd never see him again. But if he stays with me and Kimberly, you'll at least get to see him sometimes.
Auntie Joe?
And she's like, you're not going to keep me from my baby.
Yeah.
And then he hangs up and we end the episode with Joe throwing the phone at the wall and huffing and puffing.
And thrashing around the kitchen.
She's going off.
No, this is a wild little moment because it's like they wanted to end the episode on a bang, but they're like, okay, Joe, just bang around.
She's bopping around the kitchen huffing.
And you're right. I don't remember. I'm like, Michael must have a devious plan or reason.
He's
like,
what
does this benefit? How does this benefit him? I haven't figured it out yet.
Yeah, it's not like he said, I could let him go for a price.
Yeah. Like, how much was that settlement you got? Right. Like some finance, like money or something. Or does he need something from Joe? I just don't buy he'd do it for Kimberly because it affects him. If Kimberly, or maybe he wants Kimberly to have the baby so he could try to work it out with Jane.
Oh,
maybe that's what he's thinking. If she has her baby, she won't give a shit if he leaves. Maybe I don't know. I'm just trying to think what his angle is.
I don't remember
because he's always got to have an angle, and I don't think being a dad is one of them.
No, he doesn't want to be a dad.
No,
he never wanted this baby. This is crazy though.
But I'm happy. This was definitely an episode where we're setting some things up for the future. We're setting up evil Peter.
Yep.
And, you know, there's a lot of things that are kind of, you know, in the midst of happening.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like this episode definitely, I feel like, is a setup episode.
And Allison eventually coming back into the workplace as a sober woman.
Yes.
But so, still facing problems and their new problems.
Yes. Yeah. So that's going to be good.
Having to spar with Amanda.
I forgot how far Peter goes off the rails. I'm sorry.
He goes so far off the rails.
Like, there's, it is dramatic how far he goes. Like, it's crazy. And I also had to remember some other things that come up soon, which I'm excited for.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. Well, we're going
to. We're starting to get cooking here, believe it or not.
In terms of all of Melrose?
This season, like.
Oh, this season,
yeah, like,
you mean.
Things are still coming.
Oh, yeah. There's,
like,
well.
It's crazy.
There's a character introduction we're going to get who is out of control.
Yeah.
And I love that storyline. So this probably is the last time we're going to see Susan.
No, Susan is, I think Susan's gone. Because, yeah, why wouldn't she be? They were like, let's get rid of her. Done.
She's a drag.
She's a total drag. So yeah, I think she's gone.
Well, we'll find out next week. We'll see you then. Bye.